Composer Michael Nyman's music from A La Folie, and there to perform it, Quebec's Angèle Dubois and La Pietà. You're with the New Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore. Here on a Thursday, let's get to our daily look at arts and culture. On Thursday, May 7th, next Thursday, in fact, the McMichael Canadian Art Collection presents The Group of Seven at 100, a virtual curatorial talk running between 2 p.m. and 3:30. It will be offered through the Zoom app. Of course, the legendary Canadian collective of painters is famous for its output of work that uniquely captured the country's landscape. And we think of the surreal mountainscapes of Lauren Harris, the bursting color of Carmichael, Jackson's nature and war paintings, and then Varley, Johnston, Lismore, and MacDonald, later Casson, Holgate, and Fitzgerald, and close associates Emily Carr and Tom Thompson. 100 years later, what has this work meant for this country, for the McMichael, and where does it stand on the international stage? Ian Desjardins is a man who recognized the underexposure of the group, training at great universities and working at galleries in the UK. The art historian took the work of these Canadian artists across the pond for exhibitions several times before being named as executive director of the McMichael. He is the curator of this exhibition, A Like Vision, The Group of Seven at 100, and he will be your guide during this virtual experience next week. The talk will be followed by a special musical performance by Bruce Coburn. Ian Desjardins is with us this afternoon, thanks to the good old telephone, and we'll get to the Zooming next week. But Ian, welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you with us this afternoon. Tell us about this last several months for the McMichael and how the folks there have been dealing with it.
Well, it's been unprecedented and very strange. We just opened our A Like Vision show with a group of seven. I'd hung it and had a wonderful time hanging all my favorites. It was fantastic. And we'd hung a couple of exhibitions, John Hartman, Brenda Draney. We were all set up for a banner year. And then, wham, COVID-19. So we've been closed since March the 13th, and most of us are continuing to work from home. There are lots. It's amazing. It's actually remarkable how much one can do from home. We're publishing books. We're planning social media things. We're working with our colleagues all over the country and internationally to come up with how we're going to come out of this thing. And trying to imagine what the world will look like for museums, you know, when we do finally emerge, blinking into the light.
How you work with it, how you put on exhibitions, how people experience those exhibitions. You have big questions going forward, and you've done something pretty exciting for next week. And so let's give it a little context here. Years ago, you're in the UK. What strikes you about this group of seven artists to the point that you're willing to put your own reputation on the line and put on an exhibition overseas?
Well, it's actually a rather difficult question, and I hesitate to suggest it was kind of arrogance on my part. But I like to think I know a good painting when I see one.
Sure.
Well, quite young, I suppose, as a junior curator, I stumbled on the Group of Seven just through books. You know, I opened a book literally, and there was J.E.H. MacDonald, one of his great paintings, staring out at me, and fell in love on the spot. But I don't know what it was particularly. I think in Britain, of course, there's a great love for landscape painting generally and a great tradition of it. And this was clearly a great school of landscape painting, but it was so different from anything I was aware of in Britain. And yet it was so, you know, beautiful and so clearly assured and expert and sophisticated. And I kind of thought to myself, well, why hasn't anyone heard of this? And sure enough, no one had. But I was always ambitious, and I was always working in exhibitions. It was something I always did as a curator. I was always putting on shows. And so I just thought to myself, well, if no one gets there first, I hope I can be the first person to do it. And to my utter amazement, it took, 15, 20 years, something, but I was actually the first person to look at the Group of Seven since about 1924.
And our ego is a little less bruised on the international stage because of the work that you did, my friend. And now at the McMichael, you celebrate these artists as part of your mandate, which is so great. 100 years on, 2020, what are some of the observations that you're going to expand upon next week? What does a century of this art have to say?
Well, I find it fascinating. I mean, part of next week's webinar will just simply be a sheer wallowing in the beauty of these things. You know, it's a way of just reminding ourselves how extraordinary these painters were. So from that point of view, it should be just sheer joy, I think. But I am fascinated, especially since I've been here now for a number of years and I've got to know them even better, how long a shadow they cast across the Canadian scene generally, and how they've gone through various dips and troughs. You know, there was a period, I suppose, over the last three decades where there was quite a lot of questioning of the Group of Seven, you know, their kind of nationalist impulses and the idea of the empty wilderness, you know, the ignoring the existence of native peoples. And I think there's been a lot of very useful debate. All of those debates needed to be had. But actually, when push comes to shove, you need to see them in, I think anyway, in a global context, in the context of just painting in general. And how do they match up? You know, what are their links? And of course, from my point of view, I see where they're coming from very clearly, and it is basically a European background.
Sure.
So a lot of that kind of, I don't have the nationalist Canadian baggage, you know?
Yeah.
So I see them very straightforward, and I just think they're great painters, and I think we need to kind of look at them like that. So I hope I'll be celebrating that aspect.
It's fascinating. You know, it is always, when we do, 20 years goes on, let's say I experienced that group first in the 80s, and here we are 35 years later, and it is amazing how culture changes and we start to look at art differently, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. I mean, and you have to go through those. I mean, it's very rare for a school of painters not to go through questioning periods, because that's what art historians do. You know, they look at all of the context and analyze it, and sometimes things seem different. I always say it's very dangerous looking back 100 years,
yeah.
Because you tend to project your contemporary attitudes onto 100 years ago. And of course, they just didn't think like us. And so it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to do. But you can still read what they're trying to tell you in their landscapes, you know, what struck them. And a lot of it has been tied up, I think, unfortunately, in a way, with the kind of, you know, the O Canada Canadianism of it all, you know, the idea that they invented this language to really reflect the Canada that they knew. But of course, what they're doing is really reworking post-impressionism. So it's about a language. It's not really, they didn't rediscover Canada. They just painted it a different way. So, you know, It works in a European context as well, as I discovered when I put on Painting Canada in the UK and had queues of people waiting to see these artists that, frankly, no one had ever heard of at that point in Britain.
Yeah, it's always fascinating to hear your perspective on this, and I think people are going to get a lot out of next week. Ian Desjardins, Executive Director with the McMichael Canadian Art Collection. And there's huge interest in this already. People have been signing up for next Thursday at 2 p.m. I've been lucky enough to be given tours by you and hear lectures from you in the past. And I know people who join you next week will be absolutely fascinated with your knowledge on the Group of Seven. So thank you for giving us a preview this afternoon.
You're very welcome.
And we're very much looking forward to hearing what happens at the gallery in the months to come. And by the way, if you'd like to learn more, McMichael.com, head to the upcoming events section, click on the Group of Seven at 100 virtual curatorial talk, May 7th, that's the date, and you can register there and you'll get an email letting you know what to do from there, and join the group on Zoom next Thursday. You're listening to The Oasis. That's our look at the arts.